Carnal Christians in the church. Well, let's talk about that today in the Word. Good morning and welcome back to Today in the Word. Hi, I'm Glenn Schaefer, and I'm glad that you're walking through 1 Corinthians with us. We're actually in chapter 3. We're going to be in verse 1, hopefully down through verse 9 in this session, dealing with carnality in the church. Is it possible for there to be carnal Christians? Well, let's jump in here and begin reading in verse 1, and then we'll go to verse 2 and work our way through. Verse 1, "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ." Now, right off the bat here, we already know in chapter 1, as we were teaching through this, he addresses the Corinthians as saints. He addresses them as spiritual, and yet we see here they're carnal. How is it possible that someone can be in the church, born again, and be made new? Now, he just spent some time in the previous chapter saying that the natural man cannot understand the things of God, but you are spiritually given a wisdom of God. You've been given the mind of Christ. You have the mind of Christ. So he's talking to these carnal Christians and saying, you have the mind of Christ. And then he says, however, when I came to you, I could not speak to you as spiritual people. Even though you're born again, you know the natural, you're acting like you're still mere men, it says in some translations as we get into this chapter. He said, but I couldn't speak to you as spiritual, but as to carnal. There's that word again, as someone who is unregenerate. He's saying, I had to talk to you as babes in Christ. So here, though they had the Holy Spirit, they were not able to hear or to respond as spiritual people. They were not able to take on food, spiritual food, but they were acting like babes in Christ. They're having to be spoon-fed or bottle-fed, if you please. So what he's saying here is that these were brothers in the Lord. They were Christians, but they were acting like they were not by their behavior. So they're thinking and they're acting in somewhat according to the flesh. That's why we're going to address this, not of the Spirit. Now, that doesn't mean that they did not do anything right or anything spiritual, because they came behind in no gifts, and there was a lot of great things happening in the church, but there was division among them, which was as evidence of works of the flesh or carnality. So he says, when I could not speak to you as spiritual, but as carnal. And that means that word carnal, or the same as fleshly, made of flesh, is used of a person that's characterized as representing the flesh, not the spiritual. And Paul speaks of these three categories we have seen already. He talks about the natural man, the spiritual man, and here, the carnal man. So he says, when I came to you, I had to teach you or speak to you like you're carnal. He says in verse 2, I fed you with milk and not with solid food. For until now, you were not able to receive it. Even now, you're still not able. He said, we're not seeing the progress that we ought to be seeing. There's a difference between milk and solid food. It's still the right kind of food. It's still to be consumed. We all drink milk even as we get older. But when you're younger, that's all you can have. It's not that something is unclear for a new one in the Lord to be able to understand. There's no secrets that we're hiding out and keeping away from them, but he was not able to deal with real issues in their life and in growing in Christ and allowing the gospel to be the depth of understanding. We see that also over in Hebrews. The writer of Hebrews was trying to take them into deeper things, and he's having to go back and redo the foundations of faith when he says you ought to be teachers yourself. But you're not able to go on because you've gotten stuck there and you're not growing. And Paul's dealing with something similar. He says, you're not able to receive it. So God wasn't keeping spiritual things from them, but they were not able to eat it or take it like solid food. Verse 3, he says, for you are still carnal. Now here Paul calls these Christians, who in chapter 1 he calls them saints, but he says, you are still carnal. Why did he say that? Well, let's read this. For you are still carnal, for where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, Are you not carnal, behaving like mere men? For one says, I'm of Paul, another, I'm of Apollos. Are you not carnal? Now, Paul makes carnality and division very clear here. Strife and division is all the works of the flesh. We mentioned earlier in Galatians chapter 5, what talks about the works of the flesh. The last word that's spoken there is heresy, which means choosing to be sectarian, choosing to be apart. They were choosing to be separate. I'm of Paul. I'm of Apollos. He said, just because you make that choice, are you not carnal? Wherever there's strife and wherever there's divisions among you, there's carnality. So the problem that they had in not being able to take on the solid food and grow and participate with hearing and perceiving as they really should be able to as spiritual beings, as being spiritual in the Lord, they were falling back into the carnality through their divisions. So when Paul says, then who is Paul and who is Apollos? We don't want any fan clubs. You'd think Paul would want that, but he said, no, I don't want it. Now let's look at verse 5-7 and see how he responds. He says, who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers or servants through whom you believed as the Lord gave to each one? I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Now, watch this. He's saying, who then is Paul? Well, he's basically saying not anything better than Apollos or anyone else. He's just simply servants, and one has a different job. My job, he said, was that I planted. Apollos came along and watered. Now, there's sometimes people who are given responsibility to plant want to water, and those who are given responsibility to water want to plant. But really, we need to be settled in that God has given each of us our place, and it comes to us by the gifts and grace. The gifts and grace that's been given to us with the faith measured to us for those gifts and grace allows us to function in our area without wanting to be outside of that. Anytime somebody's wanting to be more than what they really are or different than what they really are, that's carnality. That's flesh. It's comparisons. And Paul's saying, well, who is Paul anyway? He did this and Apollos did this, but it was God. God is the one that's making the increase. The increase comes from him. There's a place in the gospel where it says a farmer just goes and plants the seed and he goes to sleep and knows not how it's going to come up. He said, the kingdom of God is the same way. So we are to be faithful and labor where God's called us, but ultimately it's God who makes it grow. It's God who gives the increase. And he brings this together here in verse 8 and 9 by saying, now he who plants and he who waters are one. Now, we're individual laborers and get their own reward, but they're really one. One in fellowship of laborers, not divided. He who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. So we can say, even though they're one and they labor together, yet each one receives their own reward. Isn't that neat? God sees that we will receive our own reward out of the faithfulness of our labor. Verse 9, for we are God's fellow workers, you are God's field, and you are God's building. I love this, and we're going to get into talking about the church as the building and as a garden here or as a field. I love the terminology that's given to us as the bride of Christ and as the church. And he's making a point here that we're just to go pour ourselves into the field of God. We're to pour ourselves into the building of God. We are to labor and each one will receive the reward, but God is the one that gets all the honor and all the glory. We will receive a reward for our labor because we are God's fellow workers. We work along with each other and we work along with God. That makes it great. And so here Paul is simply saying, don't be divided over this. See us for who we are. Don't grow into carnality, but begin to be relaxed in the place that God has given you. Look at God's work. sits his field, watch that he's the one that caused it to increase, and let there be no division. And out of that, he's telling them they're going to grow and be able to receive spiritual and solid food if they move away from those divisions of the flesh. That's why it's important for us to embrace the place that God has given to us. Thank you for walking through this today in the Word.